What we have so far is a machlokas as to whether or not Rabbi Chiya, in the case of Eitzein of Baduk, is dealing with a Safek Doraisa, or he's dealing with a Tuma Derabon. That was what we discussed last time. Now today we want to move on a little bit further with this. And in order to understand the nature of Tuma Derabonon, we're going to open up a sugya on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara there establishes in the name of Shmuel that Dam is only mitame tumas nida behargasha, and therefore Ksamim, where there's no argasha, where she finds a stain and she didn't feel anything coming out of her body, that's only derabanan. So our classical tuma derabanan, our paradigm of the tuma derabanan is Ksamim. And the reason why Ksamim is Derabbanan is because it's lacking the precondition of Hargosh.
Is that Kesem internal or external?
External. No, it's out of Habad. Now what we have is a Machlokes Rashi in Tosfos. And this Machlokes appears not on Nun Zayin Amud Beis, but on Nun Ches Amud Aleph. And there Rashi says that the reason why the Chachamim established Tumas Ksamim, even though according to the Torah law, it's not mitame because there's no hargasha. Rashi says, Dilma argasha v'lav hadait. That maybe she did have a hargasha, but she didn't notice it. She let it pass. And therefore, when she finds the kesem, we're going to assume that perhaps she had a hargasha. Again, only midrabanan.
It printed.
Well,
okay. Do we need copies?
Somebody might need it.
Yeah. Okay,
is
great.
One copy or another copy?
So in other words, according to Rashi, the takana of Tumas Ksamim is not something that the Rabbanan invented out of the blue and has no connection to the Doraisa Halacha. The Torah puts this condition in that you have to have Dam Bar Gosha, and the Rabbanan said, you know what, we're not sure, maybe she did have Har Gosha. And therefore the Rabbanu were choshish for something which the Torah was not choshish for. Which is okay, we find many situations where the Chachamim were afraid of something that the Torah is not afraid of. For example, the Chachamim were afraid that if you soak milk and meat together, then you might come to cook milk and meat together. The Torah was only interested in cooking, and that's the law of Losef Hashem. But the Rabbanim were afraid that if you do X, you might come to cook it, and therefore they asked a kavush, even halal, shulchan echad, two people eating from the same table, etc., etc. That's a classical case of a chashash the Rabbanim. And therefore Rashi says, Dilma argisha v'lav adaita. And that's Tumas Ksamim. Tosis, on the other hand, has a whole other approach. Tosis says that even if I know for sure she didn't have hargasha, nevertheless, it's still Tami Midrabon. And the language of Tosis is such that he says, Afilu muchzak lo shelo hergisha tmeya. Even though we know for sure that she didn't have hargasha. Again, I'm not going into the practical dimensions of this. You know, today, this man has, I don't know if it's meaningful to say that a woman can testify that she didn't have hargosha. But back in the day, in the Rishonim, in the Poskim, you'll see that a woman could possibly establish that she didn't have hargosha. And Tosa says, nevertheless, she's Tmeya. So this is fascinating. Rashi refuses to take a new approach, shall we say, to this Tumah Derabanan. Rashi refuses to allow for something which the Torah doesn't even have, meaning the Torah doesn't have anything about down below Argosha. Rashi says we don't know about Argosha, but we might believe or suspect that she had Argosha, okay, that's something that the Torah could recognize. The Torah, in fact, doesn't have this suffix, doesn't consider that she had Argosha, but the Rabbanu could say maybe she had Argosha. Tosis is going a major step further. Tosis is saying that even though we know that she didn't have Argosha, Rashi couldn't tolerate such an approach, because then you're creating a whole new set of rules and regulations. You're not working within the framework of the Torah. So it comes out the following. You know, methodologically, we always have a chakira when it comes to a mitzvah derabanan or an isa derabanan. Are the rabbanan just expanding that which exists min haTorah and applying it in cases where the Torah didn't apply it, or did the Rabbanon create something brand new that didn't exist in our Torah? So again, if anyone remembers, again, this is 3 years ago, we discussed it right here in this room, we spoke about two categories of muktzah. There's a category of muktzah which is an extension of the Torah law, which means that in certain cases we are afraid that you will implement a malacha. And then there's certain cases where the Torah did not have any chashash whatsoever. The Rabbanan created a brand new entity called muktzah. And Tosfos says that the nafkamina between extending the Torah law and creating something brand new is whether or not the halacha of ein mevatlin iser l'chatchila applies. Tosfos says, can you take muktzah with your hands and throw it into a mixture? And Tosfos says, it depends. If yesh lo muktzah, ikar min haTorah means it's based on the Torah itself, the Rabbanan just expanding it, then like Truma deRabbanan, which is an expansion of Truma deOraisa, the Torah says that Truma only applies to, let's say, Zeisim v'Anavim, maybe Peres Ha'ilam, but certainly not to Yerokos, and therefore Trumas Yerokos is the Rabbanon. Tosfos says he can't take Trumas Yerek and throw it into a mixture of Chulin and be Mevatalit. The principle of Ein Mevatalit Yisrael Chatchil applies even to a Rabbanon. But Tosfos says, let's say you have something which is a brand new Iser, Ein Lo Iker Ben HaTorah, the Rabbanon created a brand new Iser, Tosfos says then we suspend the principle of Ein Mevatalit Yisrael Chatchil, and you can take such an entity and be a Dayim, actively mix it together with Heter in order to be Mevatalit. And therefore, for example, Tosfos says that Eitzim Shenashu Minot Yon, that if branches fall down from a tree on Yontif, is the Gemara says at the beginning of Beitzim Marble of Eitzim Umavatlo, Tosfos says because Elo Iker Minatorah. And Tosfos applies this to the case of Chulin Shenishkatu Bazorik Winter of Shimon, it's older Abonon. And that's Elo Iker Min HaTorah. The Rabbanon created something brand new. So in every case of an Isur Rabbanon, we always have to ask ourselves, is this an extension of the Doraisa, or is it a brand new Isur? I'll mention in passing that the Briska Rav has this Chakira with regard to the difference between Chametz B'Sheishos and Chametz B'Shah Chamishis. The Briska Rav says Chametz B'Sheishos is an extension of Chametz D'Oraisa. The Rabbanan extended Chametz from the end of the 6th or the beginning of the 7th all the way back to the beginning of the 6th hour. Whereas the 5th hour, he says, no, that's a brand new Shem Iser. It's not really Chametz at all. And he has nafkaminas over there as to whether or not you could be Mavatal Iser L'Chatchila, whether or not it's an Iser Chefza, an Iser Gavra. He wants to say that if it's Yeshlo Iker Min HaTorah, and the Rabbanon are extending the Din Doraisa, then it's an Iser Chefza, where if the Rabbanon in the 5th hour created a brand new Iser, then it's only an Iser Gavra, it's not inherent in the Chefza. And as a Vaitan, I'm just mentioning different concepts. Here too, with regard to Tumas Nida de Rabbanon, we have to raise the same fundamental methodological Chakir. What is Tumas Nida de Rabbanon? Is it an extension of Tumas Nida d'Oraisa? Meaning, are we operating within the rules and regulations that the Torah set up for Nida? Or are we creating some sort of a new entity? Something which should not be recognized by the Torah at all. Not even on a chashash. And here we have machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says that although the Torah, in the case of Ksavim, is not worried about Hargosha, we, the Rabbanan, are worried about Hargosha. But we're operating within the same frame of reference as the Torah. Therefore, is it an old halacha or is it a new halacha? According to Rashi, it's an old halacha. Again, we're expanding, we're breaking new grounds, but within the framework of Tumah d'Oraisa. Tosfos, on the other hand, says this is down below Hargosha. Period. It's muchzak lan to lo hirgish. And nevertheless, they're upon an accident. Now, what would be logical as an afkemina between Rashi and Tosfos would be to say, should we limit the application of Tumas Ksav? Should there be exceptions to the rule of Tumas Ksav? According to Tosfos, since the entire entity of Tumas Ksavim is the Rabbanon have the right to create this entity, and they can fashion it and put conditions on it the way they see fit. That's called in Lashon HaShas, Heimamru VeHeimamru. So, for example, the Torah doesn't rely on the testimony of a katan. But in Bedikas Chometz, the Gemara says that the Rabbanon believe a katan, that he checked the house. So the Gemara says, why? The Torah doesn't rely on a katan. Why should we rely on a katan? So the Gemara says, Heimamru VeHeimamru. They created Bedikas Chometz, Midaraisa VeBitul Baal Masagile, and therefore he made Bitul. Now he is a chiv the Rabbanon to create Bedika, and the Rabbanon relied on a cut. That's called Heimamru VeHeimamru. We have many, many examples of this principle. Here's another example. The Rabbanon instituted a new entity called Tumas Nidus Ksamin. It's even, says Tosis, Muksak Lan Delore Gisha. And that new entity will apply when the Rabbanon want to apply it and when they don't want to apply it. So, for example, the Rabbanon don't want to apply it in a case of a Darash Eina Makabel Tumah. She finds a stain on ground, on karka, on a stone, on Navanim, which is not Makabel Tumah, doesn't have a shame kli, and therefore she's not Tumah with the Rabbanon, but Tumah's Ksamen. Or, for example, let's say she finds a kesem on a very, very small piece of cloth that's less than gimel al gimel. It doesn't have a shame clear, it doesn't have a shame begging to it. So in such a case, there's no tumas ksamen. The Rabbanon could also say that if it's a beged tzavua, if it's a colored garment, and we're not even sure, you know, we can't see the kesem that clearly, is that's enough to be matirit. So the Rabbanon are applying and flexing the muscle of heimamru veheimamru. According to Rashi, it's a little bit more complicated, because Rashi holds that the tumah of ksavim derabbanon really yeshlo ikar min haTorah. It really is an expansion of the Torah law. Derabbanon are choshesh far gosha when the Torah was not, and therefore once derabbanon upgrade ksavim to a level of dam bar gosha, and it's a real bona fide tumas nid, albeit derabbanon, then the laws that govern the Doraisa should govern the Derabbanon as well. And that's called in Lashon HaShas, called the Tikkun Rabbanon Ke'en Doraisa Tikkun Rabbanon. Whenever they expand, for example, the law of Hafreshes Truma is that you're not allowed to be Mafresh Truma Shalomin Amukov. And that rule applies even to Truma Derabbanon, which is Shar Peres Ha'ilon, according to the Rambam, or according to all other Rishonim, Yerukos or Kidneos, whatever it might be. So whenever the Rabbanon are expanding the Torah law, then the rules and regulations that govern the Torah law automatically are expanded to apply to the Rabbanon law. And yet here we find strange halachas over here, and exceptions to the rule. And again, when we get to Mitzvah, to the Sugya Daf Nun Ches, we're going to have to see that Rashi, L'chora, is going to have to reinterpret these limitations. And he's going to have to say that the halach of Tumas Nida has two dimensions to it. There's Hilchas Tumah Vitara, which is really the bulk of the Sechta Nida, and then there's Hilchas Isha Labayla, the Isha Nida and Isha Karis, with the Chiv Chatos. And when the Rabbanon instituted Tumas Ksamim, they instituted in a way that both halachas could apply. They wanted to expand this chashash, but only within the framework of Hilchas Kabbalas Tumah. And if you have something that's not Makabal Tumah, therefore they left it outside of the purview of this chumrah of Ksamim, of Tumah Lishal Abayl. Okay, that's a futuristic sugya that we don't know beans about. Okay, so what is the relevance now? Let's get back to our sugya of this machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos about the nature and the definition of Tumah Derabbanan. So let's talk about Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya in an Eichein Obaduk says, according to Rashi, according to the Ritva, that we're talking about a Safek Tumah Doraisa. We're not talking about Tumah Derabbanan. Why does Gemara use the term Kesem to explain Rav Chiya? That remains a problem. We tried to answer that problem last week. But there's an entire group of Achronim, as we saw yesterday, that maintain that the whole din of Rav Chiya is only Derabbanan. And if we really want to get into it and ask ourselves the question, so what is the machlokas between Rashi and the Ritva on the one hand and the Achronim on the other? What are they debating? What is the Yesod HaPlugta? And we could say the following, that there's a fundamental difference between Eichein Obaduk and Ksavim. And this is what bothers Rashi in the Ritva. In the case of Ksavim, there was clearly no Hargosh. Rashi says that maybe there could have possibly been Hargosh, but she's unaware of it. She forgot about it. She passed over it. But bottom line is, she didn't have Hargosh. That's Tuva Derabbanan. However, in the case not of Kesem, but in the case of Eichein Obaduk, now we have a whole new variable that has to enter into the equation. And what's that called? How do we bring our Gosha back onto the stage? Because since she did a Bedika, what are we always afraid of?
That
she had our Gosha. She actually had our Gosha. Again, it's not like the case of Ksavim, where Rashi says, well, maybe she had our Gosha and she didn't pay any attention to it, and she doesn't remember it. That's a far-out chashash. But in the case of a bedika, that's not a far-out chashash. That means she had our gosha. Exactly at that moment that she was machnis as her aid lifnim, that moment she had our gosha. But she didn't realize it. She thought that was not our gosha of the dam, but rather it was our gosha of the aid. Oh, if that be the case, then maybe we can understand why Rashi and the Ritva are absolutely convinced that Rav Chiya, in the case of Ein Obaduk, is talking about a Tuma d'Oraisa, albeit not b'Toras Vadai, because after all, she's not claiming that she had Argosha, but b'Toras Safek, because maybe she in fact did Argosha, but she confused Argosha with what? With the B'dikas Ha'eid. Rav Yudah Nasi goes as far as to say that in this case that there is a bedika, if the aid is considered an aid baduk, again, why does Rebbe upgrade the status of this aid she'eino baduk to the status of an aid baduk? We discussed at great length in the last year. But bottom line is, if Rebbe equates this with an aid baduk, then we have a tumas nidah d'oraisa. Why? Because in the case of bedika, we don't require our gosha. When there's a bedika, the assumption is that she had our gosha. Rav Chiya is going to add another element into this equation. Although Rebbe is 100% right in an Eid Baduk, but here we have a case of an Eid Sheino Baduk. Rav Chiya refuses to upgrade this Eid Sheino Baduk to the status of an Eid Baduk, and therefore if it's an Eid Sheino Baduk, we have to introduce a whole other variable into the equation. Maybe this Dam came from where? Not Migufa, but Mi'alma. Says Rav Chiya, therefore the Suffolk is the Suffolk of Dam Migufa and Dam Mi'alma. Rebbe is not willing to tolerate that, as we discussed at great length, and we gave three different explanations for that, either because Cheskas Dam and Amaka, or because Rov Domim and Amaka as far as the aid is concerned, or because of Matsui, etc., etc. I'm not going to go down that now. So again, according to Rebbe, basically, if you've excluded the possibility of Dam Mi'alma, and Rav Chiya has a problem with that because even Rebbe recognizes the possibility that it's Dam Macholes. But if you've eliminated the possibility of Dam Mi'alma, says Rebbe, then for all intents and purposes, this is an Eid Baduk. Comes along Rav Chiya and he insists, no, I'm not going to rely neither on your Rov, not on your Chazaka, nothing. I'm going to assume that there's a possibility that it came Dam Mi'alma, and if it came Dam Mi'alma, then clearly we're talking about an aid She'eino Baduk, and in an aid She'eino Baduk we have a suffix if it came Dam Mi'alma. On the side that it came Dam Migufa, you're right. Then, in the case of an aid Baduk, for example, we assume she had Argosha, and therefore you would have a suffix, a Dindo, a Tumado Raisa. Why does Rebbe downgrade the Tuma d'Oraisa to the level of a Tuma Safek according to Rashi in the Ritva? Because now we introduce the possibility of Dami Alma. So it's Dami Alma that plays the role over here. The Achronim don't go for it. Textually, because the Gemara employs the word Keser. But conceptually, because now you have a Svek Svek. According to Abchi, it has to be Muta Midoraisa. Because number one, you have a Safek as to whether or not the Dam was Dam Bar Gosha. You're raising a very shall we say, a very serious possibility that she confused the Hargosha with the Hargoshas Ha'ed, but nevertheless, that doesn't generate a Vada. That leaves me still in doubt, in a suffer. Add to that the possibility that the Dam came Me'alma. Now we have a Svek. Did the Dam come Me'gufa, or did it come Me'alma? Well, let's start it the other way around. Yeah, you know, I think that's the way to start. But that makes more sense, right? This is how we ended the shiur on Monday. Maybe the dam came mi'alma. V'afilu tim tzalom, the dam came mi'gufa. But nevertheless, she didn't have hargosha. Or maybe she didn't have hargosha. When I add the two sfeikas together, what do I churn out? A sfeik sfeika. Sfeik sfeika is mutim in our Torah. And therefore, b'chi al korchenu is only talking about a tumah d'rabbah. So we have now the following summary. We've got the sheet of Rashi and the Ritva that Rav Chia is operating with a Doraisa, albeit a Suffolk Doraisa. There's one Suffolk here with regard to whether the Dam is Dam Mi'alma, and that's what generates the status of an Ein of Badu. As far as Hargosha is concerned, since she made an internal Bedika, we can assume that she had a Hargosha. And that's one Suffolk. The Achronim, on the other hand, hold no. Rav Chi is not dealing with a Suffolk Doraisa. He's dealing with a brand new institution called a Tumah Derabanan. Tumah is neither Rabbanan, because on a Doraisa level, for sure she's not Tmeah, because we have a Svek Sveika. Because even the gap between Hargosha and not Hargosha is also a Suffolk. There's no Vada here that she had Hargosha. It's only a Suffolk that she had Hargosha. So first of all, I don't know where the Dam came from. And even if I'll tell you the Dam came Migufa, then nevertheless, maybe she didn't have Hargosha. That creates a Svek Sveika. What does the Torah say about Svek Sveika? Mutter. Mutter l'chatchila. No compunctions, no reservations. Come along, they're abundant, and they say no. We're going to be choshesh even in this case of Svek Sveika. And now we have to raise the following question. When the Rabbanan said, according to all these Achronim, amongst them the Rav Shulchan Aruch, that we're going to be choshesh for this Svek Sveika and create a Tumah Derabanan, what exactly are they doing? Are they doing the exact same thing that they did with regard to Ksamim? Or are they doing something radically different? Fundamentally different. So Rabosai, just to get the overview, we're saying like this. We have Revi Shita, according to most Rishonim, that is Tumah Vadai Doraisa. We have Shitas Rav Chi, according to Rashi and the Ritva, that it's Tumah Doraisa, but it's only Tumah Suffolk. Then we have a Shita of, we'll call it the Rav Shulchan Aruch, and Siaso, the whole group over there, the Sidrei Tara, that Rav Chi is talking about a Tumah Derabanan. What kind of Tumah Derabanan? And here we have another two possibilities. One is a Tumah Derabanan Dumya de Kesem. It has the same status as a Kesem. And another is a Tumah Derabanan, which is fundamentally different than Kesem. Which Achronim hold that this Tumah Derabanan of Rav Chia is fundamentally different than Ksamim? Where do I find such a Shita? So if you'll open up to the article that I gave you here, this you'll see on page Kuf Ches. Do you have page Kuf Ches? So there's a paragraph that starts with Din, on the left side, top left column, Din, Eid She'ena Mekabel Tuma, Plutas Achronim. What's the deal with Rav Chia if this Eid She'enu Baduk was a Dover She'enu Mekabel Tumah? What would be a classical case of an Eid She'enu Mekabel Tumah?
Toilet paper.
What do you say? Toilet paper. What else? Even if it's on cloth, but it's less than what? Less than Gimel, Gimel Etzbos. It doesn't have the shear of a Beged. So that's not Mekabel Tumah. So he quotes here that the Shulchan Aruch HaRav Kosav Shimotza Dam Al Eid She'enu Baduk She'enu Mekabel Tumah Kigon She'en Bo Gimel Al Gimel Mitamei, she becomes Tmeo V'lo Domi L'Kesem D'Alma. In other words, even when we drop down to the level of Rav Chia as a Derabanan, as a Tumah Derabanan, How far down are we dipping? Are we going all the way to the bottom of the barrel? That's a kesem derabbanon. Or is there a space which we wedge in between tumah derabbanon and kesem? And here's what we find. An eid sheino baduk, according to Rav Shulchan Aruch, fits in to this distinction between tumah d'oraisa and tumas kesem. On the one hand, it's like tumas kesem in that it's a tumah d'rabbanon, but yet it's not downgraded all the way down to the level of a tumas kesem. It has the halach of a tumas tumah d'rabbanon, but it's a tumah d'rabbanon without the kulos that apply to kesem. And the nafka mina is going to be, according to the Rav Shulchan Aruch, the eid shein baduk, according to Rav Chiya, which is only in tumah d'rabbanon, would it apply in the case where this eid was pachos mi gimel a gimel? It's a dovra she'eino mekabel tumah. So let's just read it one more time, and then we'll take questions. He says, "V'lo dami lekesem d'alma." Don't equate the tumah d'rabbanon of Rav Chiya, the eid shein baduk, with kesem d'alma. Kavan she'im adam ba migufa ika isura doraisa demistama argisha visavra shehargoshas edhu. Wow, this is amazing. I never would have said this, but let's just open our minds to what he wants to say, and then we'll try to fight against it, because I think it's way out of the league here. He wants to suggest that according to the Rav Shulchan Aruch and the whole group of Achronim that follow, he's got the whole list on page Kuf Zayin, by the way, if you want to take a look at that, at the end of the paragraph, Ulam, correct? He says, oh, on the fourth line, oh, Shetmeya Midrabbanon, Velodo Raisa, who are those who hold that it's only the Rabbanon? He's got the Sidre Tara, the second interpretation. He's got the Rav Shulchan Aruch. He's got the Me'il Tzedaka, the Shari Tzion, the Meshivas Nefesh, and even the Igros Moshe. So I can just tell you that out of this list, I'm familiar with two or three out of the six or seven. These are Achronim that I've never heard of, and apparently these are famous Achronim in the Shetach, in the area of Tumas Nida. And this entire group of Achronim takes a position against Rashi in the Ritva, maintaining that according to Rav Chiya, we're talking in an Eid Shein Obadok with the Tumah D'Rabbanon. And now here on the next page he says that according to that Shita that it's a Tumah D'Rabbanon, we're not going to apply the Halach of Kesem. The Kul of Kesem is not to be equated with this Eid Shein Obadok. And again, what's the fundamental difference between Kesem and Eid Shein Obadok? Why are we saying that all the kulos of Kesem are suspended with regard to Eid Shein Obadok, even though Eid Shein Obadok is only Derabbanon? And his answer is because Im Hadam Ba Migufa. We don't know. Right? That's the whole point of Rav Chiya. The Yisoda Yisodas of Rav Chiya is we don't know if it's Dam Min HaMakor or Dam Mi Alma. But if it is Dam Min HaMakor, then Ika Isura Doraisa. There's no possibility of an Isa Durabbanon here. In the case of Ksavim. Meaning, he's operating with the premise that in the case of Ksavim, forget about Argosh. The Yisoda Yisodos Vishoresh Avodha of Ksavim is that there is no Argosha, period. He's not willing to even blink about that at this point. Again, we'll see later on with regard to the Rashi that we spoke about before, but leave out the Rashi. Right now, we're operating within the framework of Tosfos, and therefore, Ksamen means zero hargosha, zippo. Nothing to talk about, there's no hargosha. Masha Enkin here, in the case of an Eid Sheino Baduk, yesh, there is room, lahachnis hargosha. To take Hargosh and invite it into the, how should I say, into the stage, and it becomes a significant variable that we have to contend with. And why is that? The Mistoma, he says, look how far he's going. Argisha Visavra Shargoshas Edu. Rabosai, what does the word Mistoma mean here? I would underline that word Mistoma. I mean, it's really throwing me for a loop here. probably, again, I can translate the word probably, but basically on a conceptual level, what he's doing is, he's doing exactly what we wanted to do according to Rashi in the Ritva, in order to interpret and classify Reb Chiya as a Suffolk d'Oraisa. Again, you saw this, and this is incontrovertible, is that Reb Chiya is considering the possibility of Dam Mi'alma. That was the basis of his whole argument against Rebbe. Maybe it's Dam Tzipor, maybe she went through a Shuk Shal Tabachim, maybe she mixed Ksamim with other Ksamim, and this, that, and the other thing. No, if that be the case, so we're dealing with a Suffolk, whether it's Dam Min HaMokor or Dam Mi'alma, and that creates a Suffolk d'Oraisa. Correct? But wait a minute. Why does that create a Suffolk d'Oraisa? After all, maybe there was no Argosha. As we said before in the Sfek Sfeke, even if I grant you that the Dam came in Amoka, but she didn't have Argosha.
But why did she do it with Nico altogether if she didn't have Argosha?
I don't know. But He's saying that Mistama, she did have Argosha, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, so if you're saying Mistama, she did have Argosha, right, then basically you're eliminating one of the two Sfeikas, which is fantastic, and I'm extremely excited about that according to Rashi in the Ritva. Right. They would maintain that according to Reb Chiya, we're dealing with a Suffolk d'Oraisa of Tumas Nida, because our Suffolk is it Dam Mi'alma, or is it Dam Min HaMokor? Once I assume it's Dam Min HaMokor, now I introduce the Mistama, Hirgisha of the Lava Taite, Tosa, and she was Tolad Argosha Be'ed, and that Mistama basically eliminates my Suffolk number two, and this much math I'm capable of doing. I'm not going to talk to you about my high school education in math, which always gets me upset, but this far I can go, and I know if I start with two and I eliminate one, I know I'm left with one. So I started with two Sfeikas. I had one Suffolk if it's Dam Mi'alma, Dam Min HaMokor. And a second Suffolk is, was there Argosha, was there not Argosha? If I eliminate the second Suffolk, I'm left with one Suffolk. Beautiful. You've just convinced me that Rashi and the Ritva are correct. But my answer, I'm trying to understand the Rav Shulchan Aruch and his group. That if membership in that club requires that you sign on the dotted line that there is no Tumah d'Oraisa, not even Torah suffering. The whole institution is only the Rabbanah. Which means, l'chora, that you have to activate a Sfek Sfeika. Suffolk number one, this is it Dam Min HaMokor or is it not? Suffolk number two, even if I grant you it's Dam Min HaMokor, did she have Argosha or not? Now you want to eliminate the second Suffolk, then you're left with one Suffolk. The whole yisod of the Rav Shulchan Aruch, and the reason they're pushing against Rashi and the Ritva and insisting that Reb Chiya is only Tumah d'Rabbanan is because of the Sfek Sfeika. If it's only one Suffolk, then clearly Rashi and the Ritva are correct. It's a Suffolk d'Oraisa. Ella what? There's another Suffolk, so don't eliminate the second Suffolk. He's caught between a rock and a hard place. Again, let's just understand what is motivating him. He's motivated by the fact that the Rav Shulchan Aruch says that the kulos of Dovah Sheni Makabel Tumah, which apply to Ksamim Derabbanan, did not apply in this case of an Ein Sheinim Bar. So he's trying
obvious.
To...
That's obvious. Because normally a kesem, as I asked at the very beginning, a kesem is external. But here it's not external.
Oh.
It's only a case of bedika.
Oh, so he says, and I think you're all on the same page, tell me if this is any different than what you're saying. He's saying that once she makes a bedika, it's Mistama Argosha.
Right.
We now have Dam Bargosha.
Right.
No, but if that be the case, then what are you telling me? It's a Tumah d'Rabbanan without the coolest of Ksamim? On the contrary, it should be Tumah d'Oraisa.
Right.
That's what I don't understand. Do you follow my point over here? I just want you to appreciate where he's stuck. I call it between a rock and a hard place.
And he's talking about a Hargosha. He's talking about a Bedika.
Correct. He's talking about a Bedika B'Ein Sheino Baduk, which means that I interject the possibility of Dam Min HaAlma, and he wants to suggest that it's only Tumah d'Rabbanan, because that's the yisod of the Rav Shulchan Aruch, the Tumah of Reb Chiya's d'Rabbanan Harai, the Gemara calls it a Kesem.
Yes.
Wait a minute. It's a Tumah d'Rabbanan. But then the Rav Shulchan Aruch goes one step further. And he says, don't equate this to the Rabbanu with Ksanim, because here she made a Bedika. So therefore he says, so what happens when she makes a Bedika? And why all the kulos that apply to Ksanim are lifted and completely nulled and void? The answer is because now we introduced the Hargasha. So you don't know if the Dam came in Alma, but if the Dam came in Amok, and it was a Hargasha. Is Rabosai, why is that a Tumah de Rabbana? Do you understand? He's trying to be posef Mishnei Asifim. He's walking a very tight fence. On the one hand, he's insisting that we're not dealing with the Tumah d'Oraisa, we're dealing with the Tumah d'Rabbanan. What reduces it from a Tumah d'Oraisa to a Tumah d'Rabbanan? The Svexfaker. On a d'Oraisa level, there's no recognition of a Svexfaker. Here we have a Svexfaker, we have two Svekers. Number one, did it come Alma? Did it come Gufa? Number two, if it came Gufa, was there a Gosh or not? Wonderful. So you've now justified the position of the Rav Shulchan Aruch against Rashi in the Ritva. We reduce this from a d'Oraisa to a d'Rabbanan. Fine. But now he wants to upgrade it. He wants to create a constellation of d'Rabbanans. And he wants to say there are tzvei dinim, or two levels of d'Rabbanans in Tumas Nida. There's the lowest level, the bottom of the barrel, which he calls Tumas Ksamim, with all sorts of kulas. He has a whole list of three kulas. But then there's a Tumah d'Rabbanan, which goes way beyond a Tumah of Samim, and all those kulas are completely suspended. But he's not willing to call it a Tumah d'Oraisa, because again, he's trying to explain the Rav Shulchan Aruch and the entire list of Achronim, the who's list over here.
Yeah, but because the Torah doesn't accept, it doesn't accept a shash of Hargasha. There has to be Hargasha. There is no Hargasha.
So we don't know if there's Hargasha.
He's saying there's a
So if we don't know if there's Hargasha, why is it different than Ksamim?
It's different than Ksamim because there's this suspicion that she made a
Please say what I want you to
say. She made a Bedika and Sama Baalma, except, okay.
So wait a minute, is there a suffix of Hargasha or not?
There's a suffix of Hargasha.
There has to be, because otherwise if there's no suffix of Hargasha, we're talking about a suffix d'Oraisa. To reduce it from a suffix d'Oraisa to a Rabbanan, we have to introduce a suffix Hargasha. But on the other hand, it's not like the case of Ksom. Because in Ksamim, let's call it a Vadei Shalom Rigish. Okay, we'll use that extreme term and then we'll try to refine it. But in this case, it's not a Vadei Shalom Rigish.
Right. The only thing is, I don't understand what...
Well, you're good. I just want to make one point. Then the floor is
yours. Right.
I think he's saying an unbelievable Chiddush. When the Rabbanon are worried about... The Torah says it's a sphinx. The first suffix, again, down the Alma, that's a bona fide, recognized, certified suffix, Minatora. And that Rav Chiya is not willing to budge. What about the second suffix? Again, we have to reduce it from one suffix to two sphinx in order to achieve our goal, our objective of reducing it down to a derabbana. So we need a second suffix. Come along the Rabbanan, according to the Rav Shulchan Aruch, the way he interprets it. And the Rabbanan say the following. Yes, on a d'Oraisa level, there's no doubt that even though she made a Bedika, since she doesn't claim she had a Hargasha, the Torah recognizes that as a bona fide suffix. And therefore we have a Svexnik. But the Rabbanan are saying the following. We are Choshesh that she had Hargasha. And therefore the Rabbanan are saying that what we're going to do is we're going to take Tumas Nida d'Oraisa and we're going to apply it to the case of Eichein Obot. And here, I think the most helpful Rishon to understand what he's saying is Tosus on Daf Nun Zayin. Tosus says that in the case of Ksamim, we know that she didn't have Hargasha. So how did we explain Tosus? If Muchsoch La and Delo Hergisha, what are the Rabbanan doing here? They're creating a Dover She'elo Iker Min HaTorah, a brand new Issa Tumah.
Right.
And then Tosus goes a step further and he says, Haim Amru Vehaim Amru. It's like, I'll give you an example, Hanukkah. Okay, Purim is a little more complicated because Purim is a mitzvah kriyas HaTorah, right? Megillas Esther is one of the Chavtal Sifrei HaKodesh. But Hanukkah is just lighting candles. You know, I don't want to say this out loud, but there are other religions that light candles too. So when you talk about lighting candles for 8 days, you know, the Nak could be sing about this, I don't know if you're familiar, that's a creation of a new entity, Midrabanah. So much so that all the Rishonim talk about the issue of Lotosif. How can Rabbanah create a mitzvah of lighting candles 8 days of the year? And we don't know the answer to that question. But that's called a Dov Shemo Iker Minatom. And Tosus applies that, as I said, to Muktzah in certain cases, and Tosus applies it to Chulin Shenetra to Bazar according to Rav Shimon, etc., etc., etc. A whole new category. Tosus applies it to Ksum. Why? Because we know she didn't have her gush. That's what Tosus says. If we know she didn't have her gush, there's no way, no how, that the Torah would even blink an eyelash and raise the possibility of Tumas Nifah. It's out. Then comes a Chenobok. Says the Rav Shulchan Aruch, according to his interpretation, then on a Doraisa level, you know what? It's a bona fide suffix. We don't know if she had argos. We can't know that at all. But the Rabbanan said, we're choshesh that she had argos. It's not the same as Tumas Ksum. In Tumas Ksumim, the door is closed. There's no argos, period. Don't even entertain, don't dream about it. The Rabbanan are creating a brand new Tumah. No, they can limit that Tumah. How do they do so? Big day tzivonim, and a vegan that's not makabel tumah, like you say niyar, or for example on stones, or if it's a vegan that's not gimel a gimel, etc., etc., etc. The whole kit and caboodle. Heimam ruve heimam. They created a new entity. They're not bound and limited by the rules that apply to a doraisa. Not so in the case of Eichein of Baduk. In Eichein of Baduk, the Rabbanon are opening up a closed wound. You know, the wound on the Torah level is closed, but the Rabbanon reopened the wound. Maybe she had Argosha. Maybe she did have Argosha. Oh, if she had Argosha, if that's the way the Chachom are looking at it, then they're taking this Tumas Nid under Rabbanon and they're putting it right back into the constellation of Tuma Doraisa. And the Nafkamina is, can we apply the principle of Heimam Ruve Heimam? And the answer is no. Why not? Because this is called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Doraisa. This is Dover Sheyesh Lo Ikar Min HaTorah. The Rabbanan are extending the rules as they were formulated by the Torah. The Torah says we need our Gosha. The Rabbanan said also we need our Gosha. For Ein Shein on Bok. They're not willing to create a new entity without our Gosha. That's Ksamen. What they're doing is, they are defining this suffix as a mistoma. Now, what's a mistoma? Again, look at his language. Again, he says, the mistoma argisha. What do you mean, mistoma argisha? That's the difference between the Torah and the Chacham. On that gap, the Rabbanan came along. The Torah said, I don't know. Maybe she had argosha, maybe she didn't have argosha. If you don't know if the dam is mi'alma and amaka, you have a sex fake and that's it, to end it. Finito, everything's over. The Rabbanan said, no, we're not going to treat that Dilma Argisha the way the Torah treated Dilma Argisha. We're going to upgrade that to a bona fide mistoma. Now, mistoma doesn't mean that we negate that suffix. If the Rabbanan negated that suffix, then we're back to square one, we're left with one suffix. The Rabbanan have a svekzvek, they're definitely operating with a svekzvek, and that's the premise, the underlying premise of the Rav Shulchan Aruch that we're dealing with in the Rabbanan. But the Rabbanan said within the context of that suffix, we have a hachras ha-suffix. And that's called mistoma. And once you machriya that suffix, now you're operating within the framework of Tumah Doraisa. Again, it's Tumah Rabbanan. Because the Torah recognized that as a bona fide suffix. The Torah was unwilling to be machriya the suffix and say argisha. But the Rabbanan were machriya that suffix. That's, I think, the beauty of this shtickle Torah.
But it was the Ravid, the same camp.
The Ravid?
Yesh raglayim l'dover. Is that some of the idea we're talking about?
Where is the rav? Did you have
it? In Monday's handout.
Okay, let me see.
I'm just saying the rosh.
Yeah, because the rav shita was that even if it's eight old bodak liola, right?
Yeah. Okay. He used the Russian Yesh raglayim l'dover, which sounds similar to
yeah, the Yeah, let me read that. Just one second. I have it on the page here, I think. Just one second. I just want to see what you say, because that could be very good. I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong page. That's page two. Page one. Okay. It's the Rav, it says, we're talking about an age, Shalom Nivda Klal. Correct? L'shitas Rebbe. Okay, no. So wait a second. So let's see what he says about Rebbe, and we'll see if we can somehow apply it to Reb Chiya. What does he say about Rebbe? Rebbe says, "Me'achr shebodka bo, raglayim l'dover shadam bo mimen." Raglayim l'dover. Just one second. Let me just think about this. So Rebbe holds that it's a tumah d'oraisa because we have raglayim l'dover that the dam came from her. And now let's say here too, the Rabbanana say that we have. Again, we're not talking about the same suffix, but we're talking about the same logic. In other words, just like Rebbe with regard to Dam min Amakar versus Dam min Alma, Rebbe says Raglayim l'dover. Now we get to the second suffix. Was there Argosha? Was this not Argosha? Comes along the Sidri Tara and the Rav Shulchan Aruch within Reb Chiya, and he wants to say that the Rabbanon changed the nature of the suffix of her gisha, a lower gisha, to raglayim l'dover. We have raglayim l'dover mistama her gisha.
Just like quick clarity, whether raglayim and mistama are similar type of logical stuff.
Right. Although I would tell you this, Daniel, technically, the phrase raglayim l'dover has a very, you know, like in computers, I think there are technical terms. I don't know, technical writers, right? There. So there's a technical term called raglayim l'dover. Raglayim l'dover in the nomenclature of Shas means that it's not even a suffix. What do I mean? The Torah says in the parish of Sota that if she had kiri and stira, and then for whatever reason she can't drink from the Mei Marim, again the Torah envisions that she'll drink for the Mei Chatos, but if she doesn't, then for the Mesot, then if she doesn't, she's Asur al Bayl. So the Gemara says Raglayim l'dover. Now to Asur a man on his wife, that you need a Vad. There's no such thing as a Sofer. So technically Raglayim l'dover means a Vad. And it could even replace two Abel. And then you have the Machlokas in Dini Mamonos about Raglayim l'dover. Like for example, you remember the case where you have two animals standing next to each other, one animal is kicking up pebbles, and we find that the other animal is dead with pebbles in its body. We know exactly where the pebbles came from. So that's also called raglayim l'dover. But we don't have eidim. So the question is, just like in arayos, if you don't have eidim, you can't asur a woman on baila, ain't dover shvev pachos. Mishnayim so to dover the mamon, you need two eidim in mamon to be mechayiv someone. Can we be mechayiv the owner of the animal that's kicking out pebbles? And the question is, can raglayim l'dover operate here to upgrade it to the level of two eidim, to substitute for two eidim?
So circumstantial evidence.
Circumstantial evidence, exactly. What we call umdun d'mucha. Alan, you want to say something?
I want to go back a little bit for a minute.
Okay.
Because maybe this is a fundamental thing that I'm not understanding in the Mishnah we had. When she made the bedika and he made the bedika, right?
They used that I don't know. Alan, I'm sorry, I got to stop you right here. I started this sugya with Itmar. The Mishnah of Har Bedika and his Bedika is not on our agenda. Again, it's part of Shas and it's part of the Sefer.
Go ahead. Let me just say what I'm asking you, because I think it's no gay to this Indian here. Because we're all talking about what was that their standard practice that they normally. They just did it after.
That's part of Shas. We're not up to that.
I'll tell you why I'm asking this question. Because I'm asking the question because they're saying the stomach that she had a hargasha, where we're learning here now, you had a hargasha, but it was somehow masked by the fact that she, during the time of the Badika, she was feeling this feeling of the aid, and that's masked. Why was she making a Badika in the first place?
Yeah, I don't know. That's again Shas. Again, Alan, what we're doing now is Alan, listen. If you could follow the rules of the game, our goal for today is to study a Maimar and everything that's in the Maimar. If you find in the Maimar the answer to your question, then I'm willing to discuss it. But right now, for today, every day, we are taking baby steps, Rabosai. We're trying to build up slowly but surely. The question of when a woman has to make a Bedika d'Oraisa and when she has to make a Bedika d'Rabbanan is a major question. If you want, I can invite you to listen to the recording of my Shia that I gave to the Kohel yesterday. But it's not for us today. Today what we want to focus on is one thing and one thing only. What is the nature of this suffix in the case of an Eid Sheino Badik? And we have four possibilities. One possibility is that Rebbe holds Rov Domim in Amakar, and therefore there's no reason to even doubt maybe the Dam came Alma, and that generates a Vadai Tumah D'Oraisa. Possibility number two, no, this Rov is unreliable. Maybe Bechol Zot, she had Dam on this aid that came Mi Alma, therefore it's a Sofeg D'Oraisa. That's Rashi, the Ritva, according to Rabbi Chiya. Then we have possibility number three, and that's an entire school of thought amongst the Achronim, that Rav Chiya is talking about a Tumah D'Rabbanan.
I understand. Fine. All that.
What we're doing today is, and that's our goal for today, is breaking down Tumah D'Rabbanan into two categories. We're starting with the following premise, that the reason why, according to the school of thought in the Achronim, as he presents so beautifully, it's downgraded from a Tumah D'Oraisa of Rashi, Sofeg Tumah D'Oraisa of Rashi in the Ritva, down to a D'Rabbanan, is because of Sfek Sfek. What are those two Sfekas? We've established that there's one Sofeg according to Rav Chiya, Shema perhaps, the Dam came, the Alma didn't come, Yigufa. The second Sofeg of Rav Chiya is that maybe, even if I grant you that the Dam came, Migufa, there was no Argosha, perhaps there was no Argosha. When I add the two Sfekas together, I get a Svek Sveka. Svek Sveka completely eliminates D'Oraisa. Now we have a different question. Is it a Svek Sveka and a Tumah D'Rabbanan equal to, identical with, Tumas Ksamim? Or is it a brand new entity? And here, and that's exactly the subject of this entire article, which is our homework for today, and that's all we're doing today, is why does the Rav Shulchan Aruch insists that all the kulos that apply to Tumas Ksamim are completely eliminated with regard to Eid Baduk, which is also Tumah D'Rabbanan. And what we're trying to work on is, what are the Rabbanan saying over here? Are they saying, in the case of Eid Baduk, that we are creating a whole new Tumah that the Torah doesn't recognize at all? Or, alternatively, the Rabbanan are operating within the framework of the Tumah D'Oraisa and all the rules and regulations that apply, all the preconditions for Tumah D'Oraisa. Just that, whereas the Torah recognized X, and we'll explain what X is, as a Sofek, the Rabbanan said we're going to take it down. It's not going to be a Sofek. And what is that X? The second Sofek that we've been dealing with. One Sofek clearly. Where did Dam come from? The second suffix is, did she feel Hargosha, did she not? The Torah says that's a bona fide suffix. And therefore, we'll be mitzarif, and we'll join it with the first suffix, and we produce a Svek Sveker. Forget it. Go home to your wife. She's muteris min Torah. The Torah is not concerned, not going to blink about it. Says the Rav Shulchan Aruch, but the Rabbanan, operating within the framework of Torah law, are creating out of this suffix of Hargosha a mistama, a kind of premise or assumption that Eino Chinami, as the Neil calls it, Raglayim Udor, she had Hargosha. If that be the case, then on the one hand I gave that it's not a tumah d'oraisa because the Torah says that that suffik hargosh is a valid suffik and therefore I can be mitzarif and it produces svek svika. On the other hand, I understand that we're not dealing with a tumas ksamim because as Tosus points out later on in the Zayin, a tumas ksamim is a brand new entity. It's a different tumah. We shouldn't even use the word nida. It's a borrowed term. It can't be nida. She doesn't have hargosh. And Tosfos' language is muhzek eslan delor gisha. On the nafkamina, what's the difference between whether we're working within the framework of the Torah law or the Rabbanon are creating something brand new? We discussed many different examples of it. The nafkamina is going to be where the heim amru veheim amru applies. If you're dealing with Dovashikra Minat Torah and the Rabbanon extending the Torah law, they'll take with it, called the Tikkun Rabbanon, all the rules and regulations that apply. And therefore, if the Torah says she's Tmeya, no matter where the Dam is found, and it makes no difference if it's red, blue, or white, then she's Tmeya, even on the Rabbanon level of Eid Sheinu Baduk. But if on the other hand, Eid Sheinu Baduk is a brand new entity of a Tumah of the Rabbanon, which the Torah has recognized, and we've broken the bounds of all the rules and regulations, conditions that the Torah set, then, Heim Amru Veheim Amru. Just like in Tumas Ksamim, the Rabbanon said that we're going to limit the application of Tumas Ksamim, and it won't apply in situations A, B, and C, the same logical approach should apply to this case of Eid Sheinu Baduk, according to the Shita that's Rav Chiya's only Dirabbanan. But here, Abosa, if you'll allow me just to complete the circuit here with one other discussion. All this makes sense according to Tosus. Because Tosus says that Tumas Ksamim is a brand new entity. It's a Tumah Chadasha that the Rabbanan invented. There's no Hargasha. The Torah wouldn't even blink an eyelash. It's not even Tumas Nida on a Torah level. The Rabbanan created a new entity. But Rashi says it different. Rashi says that what is Ksamim? Ksamim means Dilma Hirgisha Vilavadaite. That in fact, what the Rabbanan are worried about here is Hargasha. It means they're playing within the rules of the game. The Rabbanan are operating within the framework, within the stadium of the Torah law. Ksamim is also a chashash of Hargasha. And here I want to show you something beautiful. If you take a look on page Kuf Ches, look at the paragraph that starts Vahashta, and he says the following. Actually, we should really begin with paragraph Ehine and then get up to Vahashta. Rav Moshe, how are we doing on the clock? I need a few more minutes. Are we okay? Okay. Baruch Hashem, because this we're really getting now to the crux of the shiur. Why is it? And I'll have to soften that word why, because I don't really mean why, but why is it that the Torah says without Hargosha, she's not to me? Now I'm not asking a philosophical why. What I'm asking is, how does the halacha operate? Sometimes the halacha operates with rules and regulations. The Torah sets up conditions. I'll never understand those conditions. I can't make any rational sense of it. And therefore, I have no right to ask the question why the Rambam says, don't ask me why we blow a ram's horn on a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Kach gozra Torah. But sometimes we can go deeper, and within the framework of the halacha itself, we can answer the question why. Do you follow me? Again, it's not a philosophical why. I'm not going to tell you I understand the mind of the divine being. That I can never understand. But within the framework, the mechanics of the halacha, the principles the halacha operates with, I can give an explanation. This is a major controversy with regard to Hargosha, the requirements of Hargosha. The Tosus Rid is of the opinion, and again we're going to have to go through this inside, and I hope in Ritz Shem that's going to be the sugya for next week. The Tosus Rid is of the opinion, and I'm simplifying something that's much more complicated, but just for our purposes to get through this piece today, that the reason why the Torah requires Hargosha is because otherwise I'm always, according to the Torah law, going to consider the possibility that the Dam came me out. then maybe this is not Damin Amok. Other Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashba, they're of the opinion, no. Even if I know that the dam came from her body, nevertheless, her gosha is exeris hakosu. Tell me that if she didn't feel, so it's a strange kind of yitzias hadam. It's shalom kedarko. It's lavurche. It's a dover sheino rogil. Whatever you want to call it, but it's exeris hakosu. The Torah says, even if I know exactly where the dam came from, and it's damina makar, she's tahora. So let's see it in song. He says, "Hinei hevenu b'simon." I think it should be pei. You have pei hey like I do, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I looked in pei hey, I didn't find, but I found it in simon pei. Sharishonim v'achronim nechleku ma chisaron b'ri'ia b'lo argosh. What's so bad? So she didn't have argosh. So what? Ha'im avigzeres hakosu shere'ia below argosha eina mitames. Go figure it out. Oh, sheyeshno chashash. The Torah itself was choshesh. Sheva hadam bo mi'al. Maybe the dam came from some other source. Val came, according to the second approach. Tzricha lahagish es yitzias doma v'imlo regisha tolim. The Torah says we should attribute it shadam higia mi'al. Vahash. We'll fast forward. La sovereign, according to that shita, which is the Tosus Rid, if you want to make a note of it, that you'll see in Siman Pei. Shachisoran b'ri'ia b'lo argosha hu mishum shetolim adam shadam ba mi'alma. Asi shapir, it works very well. Shegam b'bedikas eid she'eno baduk she'eish sofek shema hadam ba mi'alma. Einot mea midorais. Good? Sounds perfect. I don't like it. Here Berzon writes his own footnote. Leitz archiv. I'll tell you why. Because if you're telling me that the dam is bami alma, I still have another suffix to introduce into the equation. What's that? Okay, the dam came in a makkah, but there was no what? There was no argosha. So he's going to argue that, okay, so there was no argosha. So what if there's no argosha? And the answer is because then it's dam mi'alma. So you ultimately come back to the same suffix. Do you hear it? It's beautiful. Chap. He's saying that the reason why Rabbi Chiya is going to be metameha betumas suffix do raisa is because the reason why in the case of our gosh, if she's absent, her gosh, absent the condition of our gosh, is because we're afraid she's tahor according to the Torah, because we assume that the dam came the alma. Now I understand very well Rabbi Chiya. But which Rabbi Chiya? The Rabbi Chiya of Rashi in the Ritva, the Rabbi Chiya of Sofik Do Reis.
Why? He's saying it's Midiraisa. Why are you saying it's
Midiraisa? That's my footnote. But again, I want you to hear the logic, and then we'll read it inside, and it'll tell you why he doesn't say what I want to say. But listen to it. Again, you feel it's hard, because if I told you that the author of the Sefer was younger than me, I don't know if that would impress you at all, but you understand what I'm trying to say? You know, like, I'm also a Goyen. You know, somebody raised his hand in the Rav Shia, and he said, but the Goyen says. So the Rav said, I'm also a Goyen. He said, no, this is a true story. I was there when it happened. And then another guy said in a different Shia, Rebbe, but Rav Aaron said. So he says, don't tell me, I'm not interested in what Rav Aaron said. So he said, no, I met your brother, Rav Aaron. Oh, what did he say? The Rav thought he met Rav Aaron Kotler. So,
but that's because it's within the same source.
Yeah, that's right. So what am I trying to say here? And then you'll see the way he approaches it. I'm trying to suggest that it's very beautiful here, that there's no specs faker. In other words, we had a whole school of thought, and we'll call the Bala school, we'll call him the Rav Shulchan Aruch, that it's only the Rabbanon. Why is it only the Rabbanon? Rav Chiya is the Rabbanon? Because it's specs faker. So what I'm suggesting is, now it's very beautiful. I can understand Rashi and the Ritva. Why didn't they? They didn't know about Svek Sveko. They didn't go to the same yeshivas, you know, as they did in Ladi. They also knew about Svek Sveko. The answer is there is no Svek Sveko. Why? Because the Svek Sveko is all one suffix. What are you going to tell me? It's Dami Alma, and then maybe it's Velar Gosha. That's all the same. What is Velar Gosha? The answer is the Tosas Rid. The Tosas Rid says Velar Gosha means it's Dami Alma. You've made a circuitous road, and you're back to square one again. You are actually repeating the same suffix twice. Is Mimela, if it's the same suffix, it's not a suffix. It's what we call Kulo Havi Shemecha. And therefore, when I read his text and he says, Eina Tmeya Midoraisa, I would say he means Eina Tmeya Vadai Doraisa. That's what I would add. But she is Tmeya Doraisa Mitzad Sofek. Why? Because you're going to tell me maybe it came down the Alma. And what about Argosha? The answer is, Hainuha. Argosha comes back to this. Wait, just 1 minute. Oh, he says, Mishum Sheyesh Lisha Cheskas Tara. Oh, Mishum Dikigzeres Akosu She'en Mein Bir. Fine. Onam. Here's where I want you to underline. Onam Hatam She'yesh. I'm sorry. What's the next word here?
Raya.
Oh, Hatam.
Raya.
Just give. I'm sorry. Just 1 second. What is he adding here? One second. Sorry. I apologize. I just lost it here for a second. Onam hatam sheyesh raya mizesh lo hergisha eno shayach the dilma hergisha vitasa. Instead of the supplicus of promises in suffix to the race time and time division. Just 1 second. Oh, I'm sorry. See, he threw me off because he added the phrase "O mishum sheyesh leisha cheskas tar." Just put that in brackets for a moment. That goes back to his previous paragraph. But are we all on the same line? Oh, mishum deika gzeres akos. Okay, gzeres akos. Oh no. He says the following: if you hold that from the fact that lower gisha. That's a proof that what? That she... Just 1 second. I'm almost there. Just give me a minute. A lot of sensitive mathematical calculations here. Just 1 second. If we're going to say that what the reason why in case of Lord Gisha is because it's Tami Alma. Right? Just 1 second. But here in this case, since what... In this case, that what? That she had. She had what? She had made of a people. According to Tosis Rid, let me just, if you don't mind, I'm just going to converse it out with you, okay? According to Tosis Rid, that the fact that she didn't have Argosha leads me to the conclusion that the Dam comes Mi'alma, and that's the reason why the Torah says she's not Tmeya. Here in this case, Rabbi Chia would establish a Sufek Doraisa. So why would he establish a Sufek Doraisa? Because you're basing yourself on the fact that she didn't have Argosha. I have an explanation. Why didn't she have Argosha? Because she did a Bedika, correct? So when the Torah says in the classical case that without Argosha she's Tahora, that means she found the Dam on the floor, on the carpet. There was no Argosha. If there's no Argosha, maybe the Dam came the Alma. But here in the case where she made a Bedika, and therefore I'm going to assume that the reason why she didn't have the Argosh is because Tosa, then I have no right to assume that the Dam came the Alma, correct? So if that be the case, and I think he's saying what I was saying before, that basically, why does Reb Chia reduce this from a Doraisa, a Vadai Doraisa, to a Safek Doraisa, according to Rashi in the Ritz, is because what?
It's one Safek.
Because it's one suffix. What's that one suffix? We don't know. did she make this confusion, this mistake? Did she really have hargosha, or did she not have hargosha? On the tzad that she did not have hargosha, we have to worry about dam tzipor. But again, you're always coming back to the same stuff. And that's what I think he means, perhaps, when he says at the end, "Nimtzo l'derech zu shepluktas achronin bedas Rabbi Chiya ha'im avisofek tumado raisa talya betama dover david in argosh." Oh, beautiful! He says the following. But if I'll take the other approach, that the reason why dam belar gosha is tahora midat minat Torah is because of exeris hakosu. Now I have two bona fide sfeikas, and they're independent one of the other. One suffix is, did the dam come in Alma? And the second suffix is, even if the dam came in a mokar, but maybe she didn't have argosha. We don't know if she had argosha. And that's exeris hakosu, that dam below argosha is not mitami neither.
And what is it then?
On a Torah level, it's like a piece of fish. I don't know.
But it's not dam ba'alma.
No, it has nothing to do with dam ba'alma. It's dam in a mokar, but without argosha, the Torah says it's not mitame.
Exactly. So that's not too sway. That doesn't.
No. What I'm saying is the following: one condition in order to establish her as a tmeya is to make sure that the dam came in a mokar. There's another condition that's entirely independent, and that is that she felt the dam coming out. So the two entirely independent conditions is when Melai produced the shita of the Rav Shulchan Aruch in Reb Chiya, that this is only a tuma derabbanan, because on a deraisa level it's a svek sveka. But if I hold that the absence of argosh on the Torah level is because I'm told the dam bi'alma, then I'm always back to the same exact suffix. Did this dam come in amok or did it not? The argosh is nothing more than a kli, it's a means or a barometer through which I test whether or not the dam came from her body or came in alma. So ultimately, I only have one suffix. Did the dam come from haguf or come min ha'al?
But where do you get that assumption that if there was no argosha, that it proves that it didn't come in min korah? Where's the
no, the Tosis Rid, as we'll get to Mirtz Hashem on Monday, is bothered. Why is the Torah requires hargosh? He can't figure it out.
And
he comes up with this theory. Again, maybe you don't like the theory, but at least you can hear it. The Tosis Rid's theory, which he develops here in Simon Tei at great length, is the Gemara says on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. Again, this is for Monday, but give you a preview of coming attractions. Omar Shmuel Bodka Karkol V'Yoshva Leu Motza Dam Oleh Tahora. She finds on the Karka Dam. She's Tahora. She never Bibsora. I should Targish Bibsora. Varishonim Nechleku B'Tama Dover Ma'amai Be'Inen Hargosh. Why did the Torah require Gosh? V'Nishnu B'Zeh Beis Shitos Ikaris. So he starts with the Shitas Tosfos Rid, and he says that in lower Gisha is Sheva Ein Adam. It's not dam in amokar, and that's the Tosis Rid again. There's a lot more here that we'll get to, but I'm just pointing out that if at the end of the day you're identifying the absence of argosha with the possibility that the dam came from some other source, then ultimately Reb Chiya has only one suffix over here. You can call it by two different names. You can either call it maybe it's dam min a tzipar, or you can call it maybe she didn't have argosha, but those two are exactly the same. Because the reason that underlies why the Torah says that if she didn't have argosha, she's Torah is because the Torah assumes that maybe she, this dam is not min a mokar. That's the way the Tosfos Rid understands it. So I'm just pointing out that then you produce the sheet of Rashi in the Ritva that Rabbi is based on a suffix tuma d'oraisa. If on the other hand you operate with the mechanics that the requirement of hargosha on the Torah level is simply exeris hakosuv, has nothing to do with dam and amok or dam me'alma, I know for 1,000% sure that the dam came in amokar, but the Torah says it's lacking a condition. Now I have a bona fide sfexing. That's going to drop me down to the level of what? Of a durabon. And that's going to produce the understanding of Reb Chiya of whom? Of the Rav Shulchan Aruch, Kuv Dois, it comes out that the Machlokas had to understand Reb Chiya, whether it's Rashi on the Sofik Doraisa level, or the Rav Shulchan Aruch Udi Ime, that it's a Durabonan. It all boils down to these two understandings of why the Torah requires Hargosha. But I want to point out that the Rav Shulchan Aruch upgrades this Durabonan of the Sfek Sfeika in the case of Eishen or Baduk above and beyond the level of your classical Tumah Derabbanan, namely Ksamim, and he says that the Heter of the Kulis of Ksamim did not apply in this case of Eishen or Baduk, and the reason is, he says, because the Rabbanan did not treat this as a classical Sfek Sfeika, but rather they say with regard to the second Sfek of Hargasha is Mistamer Gisha Valava and Vitasa. Once you do that, you are thrusting yourself into the framework of the Torah law, correct? Only the Rabbanan, but in the Torah law, and therefore you're governed by the absolute unrestricted Tumas Nida Daraisa here in the Rabbanan case, including all the kulas that the Rabbanan instituted. Those kulas will apply only when the Rabbanan invented a brand new category of Tumas Nida, which is the Shita of Tosfos on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, and even though we know for sure she didn't have Hargasha, nevertheless the Tumah is a Tumah the Rabbanan of Ksamim, then we apply the principle of Hema Muhema. But as I said before, and I just want to let you go with this last comment, that doesn't stim with Rashi. Again on page Kuf Tes. Because Rashi here says on Daf Nun Ches that the reason why the Rabbanan were Metami in the case of Ksamim is because Dilma Argisha Velava Daite. They didn't create a brand new framework. A Dover Shein Lo Iker Ben HaTorah in the case of Tumas Ksamim. Tumas Ksamim is based on the Doraisa Halach of Hargasha. And therefore, if we go with that approach, then we go back to the Rav Shulchan Aruch and we ask our original question, why does the Rav Shulchan Aruch completely eliminate all the kulos that apply to Ksamim in the case of Eishen or Baduk? Both Eishen or Baduk and Ksamim are Hainu Hak. In both cases, the Rabbanan are worried about Hargasha and Mistomer Gisha. No, then you have Hainu Hak, you have an equation, you have a tautology, if you will, between Ksamim and Eishen or Baduk. It all comes down to the exact same situation where the Rabbanan took the second Sufik of Hargasha and they gave it into a Mistama, and therefore you're operating within the framework of the Torah law. If Ksamim equals Eishen or Baduk, if Eishen or Baduk equals Ksamim, then all the kulos that apply to Ksamim should apply ipso facto to Eishen or Baduk. And thank God he finds on page Kuf Ches a tshuva of the Ksam Sofer, in which the Ksam Sofer in the middle of Gimel on the left column goes back and forth vacillating as to whether or not we apply all the kulos of Niyar and etc. that apply to Ksamim to Eishen or Baduk according to Rav Chiya, and therefore he says Kama Achronim Noktu Shebedavar Sheinu Makabel Tum in the case of Eishen or Baduk Tahora, and that's because they equate it Eishen or Baduk equals Ksamim, and that makes sense according to Rashi Shita Dachlun Ches that both Ksamim and Eishen or Baduk really are reduced to the same thing. They're abundant or worried that Dilma or Mistama Argisha, Argisha Velav Velav Adat. Okay then? We'll stop here.
How important is Hargasha, for instance, if let's say she was definitely Margish, okay, and she made a Padika and didn't find any blood?
Yeah, so that's a sugya that we're going to do Mitzvah on Monday. What happens if she didn't have Hargasha, but we know that the Dam came out or the opposite? The Gemara is going to address the other question. What happens if she had Hargasha, she can't find the Dam? Do we assume that the Dam just floated up into the air?
She missed it.
All this is the next sugya of Hargasha. Our sugya today was Eishen or Baduk. And I thought that we would start the Zman with Eishen or Baduk and then gradually lead into Hargasha. Because a lot of the fundamental principles of Hargasha will become a lot clearer once we've done what we accomplished here Eishen or Baduk.
Because my assumption was that if there was no Hargasha, whether you say that it's an Xeris Pasuk or not, it's telling you that no Hargasha means no matter what you find, the Dam you find, that is not Dam Nida. Now, why do you not have to say it's the Alma? You don't have to say it's Ba'alma. You can say it's Dam Nida Korah, but it's not Dam Nida. It's another category altogether. It's Dam Torah. End of story. So once you do that,
there's a Machlokas Rishonim as to whether or not Ksamim could be Kovea Vest. Let's say every Rosh Chodesh sees a Kesem. and she's Asur al Bayl. Does she now have a Veset, which means...
What's
a Veset Rabbanon. The Rambam wants to say it has a Veset Rabbanon. Yeah, and the Rambam goes even a step further. The Rambam holds that it's Mekalkel a Veset Doreis. Right. And the other Rishonim say no. The Torah doesn't recognize Ksavim, and therefore it can't even be a Ksavim. I think it really depends on what we discussed today. If you hold that the Rabbanon in Ksavim are assuming that she had Argosha, so they're operating within the framework of Tuma Doraisa, that's Rashi Shita, then we could say that if we assume in the Rabbanon at least that she had Argosha, then it could be Koveh Vest. But if on the other hand you're assuming like Tosis that the Rabbanon created a brand new Tuma, is making it tasty that tumor can become a vessel.
Well, because